Good evening, everyone. Is this on? You can hear me? Okay, good. So I brought my water supply here because it's getting warm up here already. So before we start tonight, I want to tell you a little story, Bible story. We read in the Bible in Luke chapter 24 that the Sunday after the crucifixion, there were two men of Jesus' disciples that were walking down a road going to the Emmaus. And they were walking and talking, and they were, I don't want to say bemoaning the situation, but they were kind of wondering, and they were kind of trying to figure out what just happened. And we read that Jesus came by and came up behind them and kind of walked beside them for a while. And he was talking to them and kind of asked them, why are you so sad? What's going on? And they're like, well, where have you been? You know, don't you know what just happened? This man that was Jesus, that we thought was the Messiah, was the one that was going to set us free. He's dead. He's gone. And now some of the ladies that are a part of our group, they went to the tomb this morning, and the tomb's open. And they said they seen him. And we went, and we didn't see him. And we don't know what to make of this. And then Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scripture concerning things about himself. The whole Old Testament was pointed towards Jesus Christ. And as they walked, and it came towards the end of the day, and Jesus was made like he was going to keep on walking on, the disciple says, no, stay with us. So they stopped and they had supper. And it says that Jesus, he took the bread and he broke it, and he prayed and he handed it to them. And it says their eyes were opened and they recognized who they had been talking to. And he immediately vanished. So tonight, I think there's some in this room, including myself, that don't see Jesus as much as we should. And there's some here tonight even that don't know him at all. So when we pray here, I want you to personally pray in your heart for that person, maybe that's here tonight, that just haven't recognized who Jesus really is. Let's pray. God and Father, we know that it's you that calls us, that you that draws us. You're the one that redeemed us, Lord. You're the one that sustains us. And Lord, if we would just look to you, we could clearly see you. But Lord, we also know that in your sovereignty, you have appointed today's and times, and Lord, that you have hidden the truth from some maybe even in this room this evening, that maybe they've heard it once or twice, or maybe they've heard it hundreds of times, and yet they can't clearly see who you are. Lord, I just pray, and this multitude of believers pray for individuals now, that their eyes would be opened, the scales would fall off, the mud and the clay that is covering their eyes would be released, that they could see you, and not only see you, Lord, but accept you and open up their heart to you. Lord, it's through the power of your name and through the power of your Holy Spirit we pray and ask these things. Amen. There's been many things that have went through my mind since I was asked to speak this evening. And I had started a pretty long list of things that I thought I needed to share. And then the Lord reminded me by the verses that we have to read tonight that it's supposed to be Christ in me, not me, tonight. And he reminded me of an illustration that I'd like to show you and to ponder upon a little bit this evening, that we were designed to be vessels of God. I have a vase here, and we're supposed to be a vessel, an instrument for God, and not an instrument for ourselves and our selfishness and our desires. So as we look through the scripture this evening and the scripture references that I have been given in 1 Colossians verse 24 through the end of the chapter we're going to read tonight, as we look at those, I want you to think about this vessel and think about what kind of vessel am I? Starting with verse 24, Paul says, "And now I rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which had been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily." I'm amazed in the book of Colossians so far, in the just the couple classes we've had and a couple of the sermons, that the teacher and the other preachers have said, "This verse really stuck out to me." And it's not been the same one yet. And in the chapter, or the verses that I've been given, the one verse stuck out to me, and I just couldn't get it out of my head. And that was in verse 27. And the phrase, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, last night we heard from Wesley the preeminence of Christ, that he was the, in the beginning, he created all things. And in verse 16 of chapter 1, we read that all things were created by him and for him. And that verse kind of hit me last night as he was talking about that. And I was thinking, do we really recognize that God created everything? Probably. Probably most of us in our hearts say, yeah, I believe that God created that tree and God created the heavens and the universe. But on a personal basis, do you recognize that God created you? That God created you for him? Jesus created you for him, not for me, not for my pleasure, not for my family, not for my selfish ambitions, but God created me for a purpose. Is Jesus' first place in all creation over all things, and he is the first place in your life this evening? Is he first place in my life this evening? At the missionary forum this afternoon, Katie was sharing about when she went to the home. And she said in the first 6 months, she was all in. And that really hit me. Are we all in tonight? Are we all in? Or am I partially in? Is this vessel of mine a conduit for Jesus Christ? Or is it my vessel that I want to use for my pleasure? In our verses, we read about Apostle Paul, and he says, I rejoice in suffering. And the affliction that he was enduring, he treasured and rejoiced that he was in prison, because he knew he was doing what Jesus called him to do. He knew he was doing right. He knew he was serving for a purpose. And I think of the Acts of the Apostles where they, you know, Peter was thrown in jail and they were singing. And we read of Paul and Silas. They were thrown in jail and they're singing and they're rejoicing because they were counted worthy to be persecuted for Christ. And I have to, if I'm really honest with myself, I have to think, what kind of mentality is that for Paul? What is really in him to make him think like that? And I think you'll understand my point is, what really was in him was the love of Christ. He was so purposed in his life and so focused on the work of the gospel. It wasn't about his personal and all, but he was focused on the gospel. And he says that in verse 25, which of I became a minister to preach the word. And in the New King James, it says, for the stewardship from God. Or he was commissioned from God. And he recognized that purpose. And he was all in, no matter what the circumstances. So what did Paul have that maybe we are lacking this evening? What did Paul know, and why did he understand the depth of these riches? And we're missing something. Maybe it's just me that I feel like I'm missing something, or I'm not focused. But I really don't want to spend too much time talking about that. I want you to think about that. Because what the Lord really laid on my heart this evening more than anything is Christ really in you? Now, I'm not talking to my brothers and sisters that have already claimed the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm talking to our friends, maybe our children, some of our wayward children. Is Christ in you? Is that truly what's in the vessel that's here? Is Christ in that vessel? Or is it you in the vessel and your desires? My prayer is that God would open the eyes of all of us to understand more and recognize more that he has created us for a purpose. And that purpose can only be accomplished if we allow him to. This vessel is clean and pristine. Most of you can't see it, but there's a few fingerprints on it from when I just picked it up. But I want you to think about a life without Christ in it. And I want you to think in your mind a glass bowl filled with a hot fudge sundae. I know that sounds good and cool and relaxing, but think of that bowl of chocolate, thick, running down over the top of that ice cream. And you're eating the ice cream and you're enjoying it. If you're like me, you just kind of scrape that bowl. You get every bit of that chocolate out of that bowl you possibly can. But when you hold that up, it doesn't look like this, does it? There's chocolate. It's smeared. It's a mess. And that's what my life was. That's what your life is if it doesn't have Christ in it. And that life can only be changed in one way. And we've talked about it, and I just want to reemphasize it, that the question is, have you truly been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Because that's the only way that God can be in your vessel. He's not going to make residence in a dirty cup. He wants to clean it. He wants to cleanse you. And that was his whole purpose. It was set up from the beginning. It was demonstrated through all the sacrifices throughout all of the Old Testament that we weren't good enough to be with God, that we were so far from perfection that they had to make sacrifices consistently to cover our sins. And I can imagine Jesus talking to those two on the road to Emmaus and just explaining, this pointed to me, this pointed to me, this prophet, Joel and Isaiah and Moses, all these were examples so you could see the truth that's going to happen, that I am going to come and I'm going to die for your sins. And I'm going to purify that glass. I'm going to wash it. In John 19:34, we read about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And it says, when he was already passed on the cross, that one of the soldiers came and pierced his side, and immediately there flowed out blood and water came out. And John says this is a testimony, and I've seen it with my own eyes. I find it very interesting that John is the only writer, gospel writer, that said they pierced his side and there was blood and water. All the other gospel writers just talk about the blood. And it's that blood that is the most important, because that's what cleanses us. That's what takes that vessel, that jar that's filled with the residue of our life, and cleans it and makes it pristine again. It's washed, it's clean, it's purified. And that blood cleanses us and purifies us. And I often wondered why blood. And I'm going to tread on really dangerous ground because I have no medical background here at all. But ask some of the doctors and the nurses in the room about the purification of blood. From what I understand, the white blood cells have the antibodies in it, and it cleanses and purifies the wound. That's why we bleed when we cut, because it washes that cut away and helps heal it and brings oxygen and healing. Same for our hearts and our minds. As Jesus' blood cleanses us and heals us and strengthens us. But John, John wrote the water. And I always found that very interesting. And Jesus says, in many times in his scripture, that he talks about different things about water. And the prophet Joel says in chapter 2, verse 28, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." Again, speaking about Jesus Christ and that he is going to pour out his spirit. And he's going to start to fill that vessel. It's going to be clean so he can be in it. In Acts chapter 2, we read, "And Peter said, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children." Christ in me. I want us to understand how real that can be and how much that realness is, because Christ has cleansed me and now the Holy Spirit, or part of the Trinity, God himself is now filling that vessel. And part of me and in me. And now I am a vessel that's cleansed and can be used for him and have a purpose. We also read in John that he talked about a woman at the well, a Samaritan woman, an unclean woman, not of the Jewish nation, that went to the well and asked for water. And he said, "I'm going to give you water, and it's going to be living water. It's going to be water that's going to change your life. You'll never thirst again. It's going to supply every need that you have. It's going to give you the power." And Jesus said, "I'm that living water. And you can be full, and your vessel can be full, and your vessel can be clean because of the work of Jesus." God wants to be in you. God wants to be in me. And we say that and we kind of move on, but think about that. The God of the universe, the creator of everything, wants to live in me. He wants me for something. Not a God that is like the Moabites and all them, that a God that they had to try to please and try to attain up to him, you know, and get his attention so they could, you know, be recognized. No, the God that created it all created me, created you, and wants you to be filled with him. And he's given us part of himself. Again, Wesley spoke last night, talked about Emmanuel, God with us. God with us and within us and part of us. How amazing is that? And do we recognize it and do we cherish it every day? Do we recognize the hope that we have because of that? The hope of his glory, the hope of his presence, the assurance, the guarantee that we have that the God of the universe loves me and he wants me to be filled with him. My friend, do you want hope instead of fear? Do you want to know confidently instead of doubting this evening? No despair. Have hope that Jesus loves you and died for you, and be able to grab a hold of that assurance and live for him. And knowing not that he just saved you and left you as an empty vessel, but he took part of himself and he filled you up. And he kept filling you up. He says, I'm living water. It's just not stale water that I'm going to give you and you're full. No, he said, it's living water. And it's, Jesus said, I'm trying to remember the exact verse in John. It says that out of your belly is going to flow rivers of living water. Not because of me, but because of him and because of what he can do in me. Do we really understand and recognize the riches of Christ Jesus? Do we cherish that? Do we ponder on it? Do we pause and reflect that God of the universe created me for him to do his pleasure for his glorification? And he can actually use somebody that's as disgusting and as ugly as I was and as you are and make us pure and clean and fill us with himself. And then he says, so we can go out and we can share the love of Jesus Christ with others and remind others and warn others and teach others. My brother and sister in Christ, I ask myself, I ask you, is Christ in you? And then I ask myself, how is he impacting my life? How is he really impacting my life? I'm saved and I'm happy and I'm thankful. Or is he impacting my life every day? Is he making a difference in my life every day? Is he making a difference in the lives of those in my family, in my neighborhood, in my sphere of influence? Jesus said, what's in the heart comes out. If I pick up a tube of toothpaste and I squeeze it, what am I going to get out? Toothpaste. Some days I get squeezed and toothpaste doesn't come out. Neither does Jesus Christ. And that has to make me stop and think, well, what's in that vessel? It seems like there's too many different things that get into that vessel. There's too many different things, and I actually brought some rocks up here. And I was going to drop them in the vessel, but I'm afraid I'll break something, so I'm not going to do that. But imagine different things in that vessel, and eventually it's going to displace some of that water. And there's not going to be as much room for Jesus in my life when I have cares of the life. I have financial challenges. I have personal goals. I really like watching football on Sunday. How much room is in my life for Jesus? How much room is there for me to allow him to come through me? Jesus wants to be all in. He was all in for us. Are we all in for him? Do we allow the weights and sins that so easily beset us fill up our vessel? Jesus said, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon you. He didn't just fill my jar. He filled it all the way to the top. You know what? And that wasn't the purpose, to fill my jar to the top. He wanted to keep filling my jar and filling my jar and filling my jar, because he wants that vessel to overflow. Galatians 5:22. Here's what he wants to overflow. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. God has a fire hose that he wants to pour into our lives. And he doesn't want us to put a lid on it. He wants it to get all over the place. He wants us to impact the lives of our family, our friends, our community, the world. Maybe it's the other side of the world. Maybe it's the neighbor. Maybe it's, who knows? Maybe it's the person that you prayed for at the beginning, that their eyes would be opened. And God wants you to impact their life and allow Christ to come through. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Paul said it over and over through his letters. It's not me, it's Christ that lives in me. May we provoke each other to good works and to move forward and be able to share that gospel message and allow that the Holy Spirit to flow through our vessel and be useful tools for him. May God bless his word.
Strength, my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all. Of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on the cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of
He stands in victory, since Christ. Stand.